I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I don't know about you guys out there in Etherland watching us here on the queue, watching us here, Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. This program has changed my life. I was talking to George. We were in the huddle here. When we set up the show, before we go live, sometimes we're in here doing a little bit of chat, a little bit of light before we get rolling. I was having a conversation with George about how this program has really, really disciplined me. And by disciplined me, I wake up every morning now at 5 a.m. and I immediately begin getting into show prep and what it is that the Lord would have me to do and talk about. And I find myself about 9:30, man. If it's 9:30, it's bedtime. And I can't tell you the last time that I sat in front of my TV from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock and watched that stupid Fox News and all that stuff that was going on there. This show has transformed my life. I mean that. Not only the stuff that we dig out. Man, I've never been more alive in my life. Never been more alive. And I'm going to tell you also, never been more spiritually attuned in my entire life than I've been since I've been on this show. By spiritually tuned, I mean the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. And I had a discussion with a brother this weekend about that who's dealing with some issues. And I got right down into the nitty-gritty, down into the butt. I said, what do you eat? And he said, what? I said, what do you eat? And see, like most people, he starts to tell me what his diet is. I said, no. Do you eat the word? Do you ever sit down and eat the word? Or do you eat rock music? Do you eat media? What do you eat? When you get up in the morning, what's your meal? We'll take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not eating the word, if you're not having a steady diet of the word, you're eating poison. And so it's going to be poison in and poison out. Well, you are what you eat. And I just want to tip my cap and say, wait a minute. I want to tip Lindell's hat and say thanks to everybody that you keep me on my toes. Because I know that if I come in here, I'm not prepared. Somebody's going to hold my feet to the fire, Sarge, or Larry, somebody's going to hold my feet to the fire on it. And as I said many times, I'm not an expert. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. But, man, the clarity that I have. Can I pat myself on the back? I want to pat myself on the back. It was about this time last year that I became full-throated Donald Trump. Do you remember that? About this time last year. And it's because I've constantly told my Christian friends, I'm sorry, but I see stuff you don't see. Now, that sounds arrogant, doesn't it? So I'm sorry, I see stuff that you don't see. And I would like to see a good Christian man in office also, but I'm telling you, that's not what the times deserve. We need something other than that. And it was about a year ago. This is June, first day of summer already. Can you believe it? A year ago, we were going through all the primaries. I suppose Trump had locked it down by this point. Maybe he hadn't. Maybe it's even sooner than I'd done that. But I'm telling you, folks, hear me. Turn off that stinking TV. Turn off the TV. I'm going to say it one more time. Turn off the TV. If you need encouraged, if you need entertained at night, go to your computer. There are all kinds of edifying YouTube videos that are there, all kinds of great stuff that'll feed your spirit. You are what you eat. Okay? I want to point something else out to you today as well. I believe the Democrats are now 0-7 in these new special elections to try to replace these guys that are now working in the Trump administration. They got their butts beat again last night. Stop a minute. I'm not a Republican. But I have to tell you, we are watching. We don't see it because we're stuck in this vortex. That's why I'm saying turn off the TV, walk away from some of that stuff, and let your mind clear a little bit. Because we are we are sitting in an eye of the storm. And if you will slow down, and if you will lurk and you will discern, you're going to understand exactly what's going on. I have never. Can you guys imagine what Donald Trump's approval ratings would be if the press was simply honest? Can you imagine? Did you know that in this recent case last night down in Georgia, that the Hollywood left, they dumped $20 million in to try to get this asshole, or whatever his name is, asshat, try to get him elected? Some 30-year-old pajama boy guy. Hollywood dumped $20 million in to try to get that guy elected. And try as they couldn't do it. They thought they had it for sure. In fact, just before Labor Day, the poll came out, asshat was ahead by 7 points. He was ahead by 7 points. Well, what happened last night? Well, asshat got beat. He got beat because why? Because more and more of us are waking up and understanding the media manipulation that's going on to see what's happening. And the old divide and conquer strategy just isn't working as much. And I don't know if you saw this. To me, it's fascinating. I don't know what you think about Alex Jones, and I don't really care. But Megyn Kelly, who made her shift to Fox News to NBC, and they paid her $50 million, you know, she's tanking. You know, they're trying to figure out what they can do with her now. They don't even know where to, on NBC, they don't even know where to put Megyn Kelly. And I don't know if you saw this or not. Alex Jones, the other night, when he was going to be on with Megyn Kelly, see, they thought that Alex Jones was going to be such a big draw because, see, Alex Jones' audience is bigger than all of cable news. Are you guys aware of that? Alex Jones has a larger viewing audience than MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, all of them combined. More people watch Alex Jones. Fascinating. So Megyn Kelly says, well, I'm going to run in there and I'm going to do an interview on Alex Jones, and then everybody's going to come and watch my show, and my ratings are going to be sky high, and we're going to be off and running. But Alex Jones, the alternative media, Mike Cernovich, these guys, it's about time we learned how to fight, you know? What did Alex Jones do? Well, the night before the interview with Megyn Kelly, he did an expose on Megyn Kelly. Alex Jones took the video that had been produced by Megyn Kelly, and Alex Jones showed what was really going on, what he really said in the interview, and how Megyn Kelly was nothing more than another media setup to bring him down. And 6 million people watched Alex Jones, and then how many watched Megyn Kelly? 3 million. She got beat by rewinds of, what's that show? Family Guy? Whatever. She lost. She became in third, sixth. No, she got beat by 60 Minutes, but she also got beat by the Family Guy. It was on ABC, I think. She came in third. She got 3 million viewers. Alex Jones got 6 million. And what did Alex Jones say? Hey, don't, to his 6 million viewers, don't tune in. Don't tune in. So Alex Jones set her up and chopped her down big time. So I want to encourage you folks. Something really, really huge is going on. Donald Trump, despite all of this, all of the media against him, those people down in Georgia, they stood with Trump. Because remember, before the election in Georgia, what did they say? This is a referendum on Donald Trump. The worm is turning. This is a referendum on Donald Trump. And what happened? Trump won. He won. And they're not saying it now. Folks, there's something so big going on. We are right in the middle of it. This vortex, something so big going on in America. There is a shift taking place. And where's that shift taking? It's gone from Megyn Kelly to here. It's gone from your local TV news to here. That's what's going on. And if you think we're not having an impact, not by us, I mean everybody in the alternative media, the Hagman and Hagman and Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show, and I could go on and on, Mike Cernovich and Alex Jones and all of these alternative medias and the hundreds of thousands of views that people are putting on YouTube. Folks, we are winning this battle. They brought out all their big guns, all of them, and they still have not been able to make a dent. They haven't been able to make a dent. So here's what's coming next. Excuse me. Here's what's coming next. I just want to, you know, just tell you what I think. I'm going to open it up and let you give have a comment here in a sec. But Jared, go to stuff. You don't have to bring it up there. You don't have to bring this up there. My friends, do you know that Illinois is broke? Roger, did you know that?
Yeah.
I saw yesterday that Illinois, excuse me, the state of Illinois has 1.8 billion, that's with a B, 1.8 billion in unfunded pension mandates. Let me say this in a language that those of you out in the cornfield will understand. The state of Illinois owes $1.8 billion to retirees, and they don't have it. They don't have it. Illinois has now reached what they call junk bond status. In other words, the entire economy in Illinois is nothing. There isn't one. And the long-term, short-term ramifications of Illinois being broke, when that ox starts to tumble, baby, you better watch out. So one of the things that I think is getting ready to happen, this is not what I intended to talk about. Bear with me a second. One of the things that I believe is intending to happen is the deep state, whatever we want to call, whoever those people are, those tin hat folks that we love, they're going to try to crash the economy. They have to do something to get rid of Trump. They're going to crash the economy. They're going to blame it on Trump. What they're going to try to do. I was reading an article yesterday as well that Amazon has now caused the greatest closing of brick and mortar retail stores in the history of America. Hundreds and thousands of people are losing their jobs. Sears, Kmart, Radio Shack, I could run down the list. They are going out of business. And why are they going out of business? Because everybody's buying online, especially from Amazon. And Bezos made like $1.8 billion last month or something. Something unbelievably staggering. See, whatever happened to monopolies or not being able to have monopolies? Point I'm making is this. The economy is getting ready to take a real fall, real tumble. I just want to encourage all of you out there. I don't really know the advice other than get a hold of something you can hold. And if you're in the stock market and you're riding that fake stock market and you think that everything's going okay in America, buddy, hey, what does it say? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The American economy is Humpty Dumpty, and I'm not trying to be fear mongering because I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah, Raj.
I would add to that, and I'm no expert at all, but everybody needs to have some preparedness in their home. If and when this crash hits, and there are men and women far smarter than me, please be able to stay in your home for a minimum of 30 days. Where you don't have to be running out in the danger zone to get a bottle of water.
Yep. Roger, I don't even really think, listen, folks, I don't even know. We start talking about money and wealth preservation and all that stuff. I mean, it's going to hit everybody. And if you think poor people don't have anything now, I don't know. You guys know this? Do you guys know that Chicago is in Illinois? You do know that, don't you? And Illinois is broke, 1.8 in pension funds they don't have the money for, 1.8 billion they don't have right now. Can you imagine if the welfare benefits would be cut off in Chicago? Can anybody get a picture of that scenario, what that might look like? Well, folks, come into a city near you. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not trying to scare you. It's phew. Put your finger up in the air, boy. You can feel that one. You can feel which way that wind blows. So I'm prepared. We're all prepared. I got some good stuff to share with you. I say that all the time, but I do. But I want to preface with this today. I'm just checking to see what I got, if there's anything else I want to talk about. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. This is how the Lord works when I put this show together. By the way, does anybody else want to say anything? I didn't. If you were waving, I didn't have my glasses on. I can't always see. And somebody just sent me a message and said, hey, how come I can't get in? Listen, most of the time we're going to have 10 people in the queue because we can do our talk and all that kind of stuff, chat on the side. Fridays, we're going to go wild west. We're going to open it up to everybody. But I kind of made that call myself because I watched last week when we said, hey, come on, let's get 30 of you in here. We got 22 people in and only 4 people even spoke. So I thought, well, maybe they're not interested in being in the queue. Maybe they just like to watch it. So we're going to open it up again here on Friday and bring more of you in. Right now we're in the 10 person queue. Did anybody want to jump in, say anything over what I just spoke about there? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I was coming down the steps. If you could see me when I come down into the studio, I come down, I carry one computer and I carry stuff down the steps. My wife would attest to me. She's up there listening right now. As I came down the steps, the Holy Spirit changed everything I was going to talk about. And, I kind of wavered into it yesterday, but I want to kind of bore into it a little, about 10 minutes here. Let me bore into it here. We'll see where the Lord takes it. I was talking yesterday about, if you remember, I was pretty hard on the missionaries. People go to Guatemala and Haiti, and we did if you didn't see yesterday's show, go back and watch it. We showed that most of the places in the world where we are sending missionaries are already more Christian than we are. Now, we understand that the Christianity that they have is Catholicism. But still, from a moral standpoint, Catholicism teaches good morality. It's fundamentally a good base for people to live together. Catholicism is the laws, the rules of the Bible. Behave, you know, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't commit adultery, all that. So the foundations of most of those countries, Guatemala, Haiti, we saw them all yesterday. We're 71% Christian. Russia's more Christian than we are. Russia's 77% Christian. And so this idea that we as Christians have to go do missionary work in countries that are already Christian, what is that all about? What hit me yesterday, just kind of passing by, it hit me. Ah, now I get it. We in America, we want to send missionaries to Guatemala and to Haiti and to, you pick the spot, Ecuador. We want to send missionaries there. You ready? Because they don't have as much stuff as we do. And in American Christianity, we look at the world and say, oh, they're poor. They need Jesus. If they get Jesus, they'll be rich, and then they'll be better. So I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to help build a hut for them to live in, and I'm going to dig wells for them to have water. I'm going to go down, and by doing that, I'll make their lives better. When, in fact, in many situations, when you're suffering and struggling, that's how you draw near to the Lord. The Lord draws you near to Him, on my experience, through suffering, persecution. And so we think about, I've never been to Haiti. I've never been to Guatemala. We talked yesterday about Jerusalem, Judea, then the uttermost, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. I've never been over there. I do a lot of local ministry. I've never felt a call. I've never been outside the United States except for the Bahamas. And that wasn't a mission trip. That was another trip. I've been to Canada. I've never left the United States. I admire those who go to tough places like China, and Sudan, and Iran, Iraq, and Turkey. I admire people who do that. That's, brothers, that's missionary work. But Haiti ain't missionary work. Sorry. Because see, we've taken the gospel, and we've made the gospel financial success and comfort, being blessed. That's what we've made the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. My humble opinion, or not so humble opinion, Jesus didn't die that my life would be good. Now, that could be a byproduct of it. Thank God we live in the good old U.S. of A. But He didn't die on a cross so that I could be blessed, whatever that word even means. He didn't. And somewhere along the way, here in America, we have elevated man far above what man ought to be elevated. Now, we would all agree that man is the crowning achievement of God's creation, no doubt about that. And He gave us dominion over all the animals and over all the fish. And all, we all agree with that. We're His crowning achievement. But we really ain't anything special. We really aren't. And what we see happening in our churches is the glorification of man and the comfort of man. And that Jesus died on a cross that we might have a safer, happier, better life. And for those poor people that don't have money, Well, we'll go over and build them a house, because if we can just build them a house, then they'll be comfortable, and then they'll have Jesus like we have them too. It's crept in on us. Blessed. I pray for brother. I pray the Lord's blessings on you. Really? Really? Hey, Jared, pull up Matthew 6. Matthew 5, I'm sorry. Matthew 5. So I want you to think about that word. Hey, Jared, do this real quickly. Look up blessed. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Look it up in the dictionary for me real quick, Jared. Blessed. God bless you, brother. Blessed. Be blessed. God bless you, brother. Okay. Well, what does blessed say? In the dictionary. Held in reverence. Honored in worship. Of or enjoying happiness. Bringing pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. Or. That's it. Blessed. Blessed. Think about that a minute. Blessed. And if you ask every one of you, if I were to pin every one of you down and ask me what your greatest blessing in life would be, I would think it's probably, hey Vince, I would think it's probably not financial stuff. I love the comforts that I have, but that's not my greatest blessing in life. Michelle and I took a walk together last night. I need to do that more. And I began just having a discussion. I'm walking down the street. And I said, when I look back over my life, I named three different instances of things that I wish I could do over. Three moments in my life that I wish I could do over. Go back. Only three. Now, there's probably a lot of other things that I could do. But those three moments in my life, had I understood what was going on, I would have reacted. But other than that, we all just pretty much live our life from moment to moment and blessing to blessing. But I was moved by the Lord today to go to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to see something. Let's read this, because these are called the Beatitudes. And I want you to ask yourself this. How many of you would like to see these blessings come into your life? You ready? You want to be blessed? And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, by the way, he's speaking only to the disciples, not to the multitudes. He saw the multitudes and he left. He got away from them. Everybody see that? Because we're taught the Sermon of the Mount was given to all the masses. And it wasn't. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Who did he teach? The disciples, not the masses. Critical. What did he teach them? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Time out. When's the last time you were poor in spirit and saw that as a blessing? Blessed are they that mourn. When was the last time that you were mourning and saw that as a blessing? Blessed are the meek. When was the last time that you were meek and saw that as a blessing? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When was the last time you looked at hunger and thirsting after righteousness as a blessing? How many people you know say, I stopped going to church or I wasn't getting fed. Blessed are the merciful. When's the last time you thanked God, thought it was a blessing that you were merciful? How about this one? When's the last time you thanked God that you were pure in heart? Blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Wow. Hey, how about 10? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When was the last time you applauded and said, thank you, Lord, for the persecution? Yes! Yes! No. Blessed are you, verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, saying all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heavens, because they persecuted the prophets which came before you. But baby, you're the salt of the earth. And so we have misunderstood what it means to be blessed. See, being blessed is anything that causes you to turn closer to God. That's blessing. Blessing isn't a Cadillac. Blessing isn't a new house. Blessing isn't losing 30 pounds. Blessing isn't having a big bank account. We have got, see, that's why we send people to Guatemala, because those people aren't blessed. And isn't it amazing when people come back from Guatemala, they feel blessed, because why? They saw those people living in poverty and being happy. They're blessed by that. See, we're chasing after the wrong thing, guys, girls. We're chasing after the wrong blessing. We're chasing after the wrong blessing. And that's why when we went down to the homosexual pride parade, wow, see, listen, guys, you don't know this. I'm going to tell you. God was so pleased. He was so pleased, man. He was so blessed. When was the last time that you sat down and you said, you know what? I'm tired of all the blessings I got. I'm tired of them. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go bless God. I think I'm going to get up today and I'm going to go about my day and I'm going to try to put a smile on God's face. That's going to be my purpose all day. I'm not going to walk around and ask him to keep putting a smile on my face. I'm going to reverse roles here. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said that you to take up your cross and die daily. Jesus said that you've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless you live, but not you that lives, but Christ lives within you. And the life that you now live, you live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for you. So in other words, Christ gave you salvation. What have you given him? And what do you purpose to give him? Sunday was Father's Day. Can I tell you something? I couldn't care less what my kids got me. I didn't want nothing for my kids. I'm thinking, hey, quit getting me stuff and then just do stuff that pleases me. Stay happily married and raise good children and teach them the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Stand up for life and stand up for what's truth. That's what I want. I don't want a present on Father's Day. You are my present. My kids are my present. You really want to give me a present? I would say to my children, and stop serving the devil. Stop serving yourself. You really want to bless me? Well, I think that's what my Heavenly Father is saying to me. See, you think that you go out and you go out and you chase everything else that everybody else chases. Oh, Lord, thank you for that scripture. Oh, my goodness. Seek first the kingdom of, where is that? Where is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Is that awesome? You missed it, but he did. I thought so. Matthew 6:33. I'm going to show you something. Boy, have we got this thing upside down. We have got this so upside down. Jared, let's go to 6. Wow. 25. Therefore, I say unto you, a weaver, take no thought. What? Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink. What?
Book are you?
What'd you say, Raj? I'm in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. I'm in 25, actually. Take no thought. Well, he just told us in 24, no man can serve two masters. For either hate one, love the other, or he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve you and God. Can't serve you both. You're going to have to figure it out. Which one you're going to figure out? And he said, you get yourself in a mess. You know why? Because you're taking thought for your life. You're worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put in your clothes and what you're going to put on. He said, come on, dude. Life's so much more than that. this, all that. Quit serving yourself. He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much better than they are? Now, he's not saying be lazy, not do anything, okay? Making a point. And tell me something, Weaver. Which of you can add 1 inch to his height? Well, I wish I could. A couple times I wish I was 6'3". Can't do it. I can't do it. 7'3" inside. Verse 28. Why take you thought for clothes? Look at the little lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory wasn't dressed like these dudes. Stay with me. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye little faith. Yeah, but we got to go to Guatemala because they don't have anything. They don't have anything over there, and we want to give them the love of Jesus and teach them to seek after stuff just like we do.
Hey, Dave.
Therefore, yeah.
My wife and daughter went on one of those Costa Rica trips. And they had a good experience. I won't go in that direction. But one thing, observation my wife said when she returned is how happy the people were. And they had nothing.
Isn't that something?
Now, many of them were believers. How content and how happy they were. And they had so little. In America, the believer has so much, and you tell me if they're content, and they are not.
Amen. Man, oh man. Let me finish this. Therefore, stop thinking about you. Stop thinking about what you're going to eat. Stop thinking about what you're going to drink. Stop thinking about going to Amazon and buying yourself some clothes. Watch this. For all these things do non-believers seek. You're after the same stuff. You just want Jesus to bless your stuff. Because your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you're going to have all that stuff too. All that stuff's just going to follow. It's a byproduct. So take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. So sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What an impactful thing that you just said. In fact, it was so important in the eyes of God the Father and Jesus. Just taking your Bible and just reference verse 33 of chapter 6 back to verse 10. Because, see, in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the very first thing we're instructed to ask for is God's will to be done.
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will Amen. Be. The first thing we're to ask for is just what he just expanded on here. And by golly, I don't know how many prayers I hear out of church pulpits that don't even mention God's kingdom coming.
JR, do you see the trap we've fallen into?
Absolutely. When you mentioned blessings, Coach, the first thing I went to was all those bumps that God put in my road that burned me. They were horrible bumps. But had those bumps not occurred, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yes, sir.
I went right where you're at. Man.
See, I'd tell our football players when we'd be out there in those hot 2-a-days running and puking, and yeah, they'd puke. They'd run and puke. Feel sorry for themselves. I said, listen, baby, no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. And I'm going to tell you what, you hate me now, but you're going to love me Friday night. You're going to hate me now, but you're going to love me Friday night. And you know what, JR, you know what, Kevin, Roger, they not only love me on Friday night, they love me to this day. Because I forced them to do what they didn't want to do. And when I forced them to go beyond what it was that they could do in their own flesh and in their own will, when I forced them to go beyond that, blessings came. And it wasn't the blessings that they were thinking about. It is the deep, deep life lessons that are embedded into them to this day, because sometimes God's love hurts. It doesn't always come the way that we think it's going to come. Persecution, hate to tell you this, it's a good thing. The Bible says, blessed are the persecuted. Didn't it say that? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. We should have had 1,000 guys lining up down at the gay pride parade getting beer thrown in their face. It's a blessing. You see why we're ineffective as Christianity? Because as most non-believers will tell you, Christians really aren't any different than anybody else. I had some young girl come up to me at the, she had a group of us gathered, a group of us pinned up against the wall, so to speak. You know what she asked you? Hey, how many of you are divorced? How many of you watch pornography? How many of you, on and on and on. She's just pulling our pants down, just pulling the pants down. Just asking simple questions. In other words, she's saying, who are you to be out here saying something about these guys? Now, we didn't have time to explain to her pre-salvation and post-salvation and all that. We didn't. But see, that's how the world's seeing us. The world's seeing us as a bunch of do-gooders who don't do good. We see us as a bunch of do-gooders who go do things so they can get something out of it. Because if you really felt bad about those poor people down in Guatemala, Roger, you'd move them to Canal Winchester. You'd buy them a house and bring them right in there beside you. Not just make a one-time, lifetime visit to them. Build them a little hut. Somebody say amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? Lord gave me all that. Just gave. I'm walking down the steps. The Lord gave it to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Amen.
Hey, go ahead.
Anybody? What do you think, Vince?
Coach, yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Just want to say, let's go back to Hillary Clinton and what she did to Haiti in 2010.
You know, how she raped that place.
How many millions of dollars did she rape Haiti for? The people picking up mud, flattening in their hands and eating it. That's what they got for all those donations given to them.
They're no better than they were, are they, Vincent? They're no better off today. And I'm going to tell you this also. You can go to Haiti, folks, and you can build them a hut. I'm going to promise you, they probably ain't any better off today. Because when they left, somebody came by and stole it, or the winds came and washed it down. And you know what? They're more poor in spirit than most people who go bringing them the gospel. Go ahead and punch me in the face, but I just told you the truth. Go ahead, Michael. Pure in spirit. Pure in spirit. Go ahead, Mike.
We don't really understand the spiritual life very well. Because if you really pay attention to Jesus' life, he was doing the same thing that you're saying right now. The people of his time thought that having money, taking care of everything going positive, would be a sign that they're spiritually alive and alert. And in reality, he's saying just the same thing. It's when you're poor, you lift yourself up in your spirit and things change for you in your attitude towards life. That's what Jesus really taught. It's your attitude in your spirit towards life that makes a difference. Because he didn't have anything that was more than other people. He was on the same level. That's the whole thing. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, he gave up all that he had to become like unto us with nothing, and showed us that in the nothingness, we become alive in the spirit. And that's what God is trying to communicate to us. The blessing is life, living life, wherever you are, and realizing that the life is the gift from God that we are blessed with. And it's what you do with that blessing.
Hey, amen. Coach?
Yes, Larry.
Can I take 60 seconds and answer JR's question over in the chat? JR says, how many Americans are fake Christians? Well, it kind of tells us there's a biblical answer for that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Everybody's familiar with it. Wide is the way and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And many, M-A-N-Y, many there be that find it. And narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few, F-E-W, find it. So many and few. Many are the fake Christians, the real Christians. And that Greek word that's used for many there does not mean a large number. It literally means a super majority of a group. Now, when you go to Matthew 25, you'll find out that group is people claiming to be Christians. Jesus says many are going to say, I did miracles in your name. I performed wonders in your name. Oh, man, I had a ministry built up for you. That's many. Remember, the exact same many. And Jesus says, I'm going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you.
So, Larry,
the supermajority of people claiming to be Christians are false Christians. And that's got a biblical.
So let me piggyback on that, Larry. Stay right there, Jared. I always tell you this. I read before and after when I read a scripture, right? But look at this. Why are the so? Why broad and narrow, many and few? Why? Well, verse 15. Because of beware of false prophets. Beware of those guys which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good fruit bringeth forth. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. Here's what I'm saying. By your fruits you shall know them. They build bigger buildings and larger ministries. The more rich the Christian American world becomes, the more debaucherous the world gets. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed it? The more rich, the more prosperous the American Christian world gets, the more diabolical the culture becomes. Why? Because we're serving the God of mammon, me included. Sorry, me too.
I have a correction I have to make on myself. I'm sorry. I said Matthew 25. Oh, it's not Matthew 25. You just keep going in Matthew 7. You took it down to 15. Go down to 22, and you find out he's still talking the same subject matter, the same discourse. And then 20 through to 24 is where he talks about the many that claim to be Christians. He rejects. He rejects them. He gets rid of them because he did not know them. And yet they were so sure they were Christians, they started ministries in his name.
Good connection, Larry. Good connection. Because he was talking broad and narrow at the top. Then he gets down, he makes it a little bit more clear, doesn't he? Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. There's that broad. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, there it is, Larry. There's that many. There's that supermajority. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in name and gone to Haiti in your name and Guatemala? And haven't we done all these wonderful things? And then I'll profess in them, I never knew you. Who the heck are you? Get out of here. You that serve money. Yes. Let's go. Roger first, then George. Go, Roger.
Beautiful to be in the Bible with other men. I can't tell you how this has changed my life. Thank you, men. In 15, when he says, watch out for false prophets, I think the believer who sits in front of these false prophets, and believer may not be the right word, they know they're a false prophet, but they still sit there. And that's the danger. When you sit, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, how in the world could you stay under the teaching of many of these pastors? You know they're not telling the truth. You know they are not giving you the full gospel. I believe it is those people that will be a large contingent of this falling away. They
right.
remain
well,
they under the false prophet.
Hey, Roger, you wait till the economy crashes and you see what happens, huh? And you wait till the economy crashes. You see what happens to some of the Christians. By the way, George, I'm coming to you. Kevin just put over here on the side. For those of you who can't see the chat, listen to this one. Listen to this one. KT, I'm not sure who that is, Kevin, doesn't matter, says this. The fact that there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven says a lot about the anticipated traffic numbers. Highway to hell, stairway to heaven. Not even an escalator, baby. Not even an escalator. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Coach, you know, a lot of these fake prosperity teachers, which there's many of them, as we all know, they like to point to the Old Testament and say, well, you know, all of God's great men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Daniel, they were these wealthy guys. But I'll tell you what, I've been reading the book of Jasher, which is an apocryphal book. It's a phenomenal book, and it explains in detail the lives of these great men in the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you, they sought God more than they said. They were not seeking wealth at all. The wealth was just a byproduct of God blessing them. It was truly a blessing of God, not a fabricated blessing of God like they're trying to do today, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense, brother.
What makes sense to me is if the financial blessing, if the finances are your goal, then the finances are your God. And the God that provides finances as a reward,
that's it, Larry,
for that will give it to you for a temporary period of time in most cases.
Amen, but he'll distract you, Larry.
Chasing those finances, the devil will find a way for you to think you're getting them. And go down that road if you want to, folks. Not me.
It's a hot road.
It was.
Yeah. I'd like to say one more thing. Coach, when you have a football team, it's not the quantity of all of the people you have. It's the quality of the few that make a difference.
It is. It's a good
quality,
point.
Not quantity of what we're looking for, even as Christians. Because when you have quality people praying, doing whatever it is that God calls them to do, happens. But if you just are looking for numbers and success as numbers, you're missing the whole point of what the scriptures are all about.
Indeed.
Amen. Because it's always the remnant. It's never the huge number. Look at the story of, what's his name, who had 30,000 troops that he was going to fight the enemy, and it ended up with 300.
Yeah, it Gideon. Quality. Amen. And it is. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I would just want to throw in a little thing. Has anyone mentioned the Scofield Reference Bible?
Oh, no. We should.
Yeah. So you know, you heard about Brad Meltzer doing a show on the Spear of Destiny, and I'm always wondering, after hearing that, if there's some kind of trick to actually bring back that evil bastard in Jerusalem. You know,
you're talking about Cyrus Scofield, Vincent?
You got it.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of, you know, rather than just throwing it, we ought to do something on that. Rather than just throw it out here, the Scofield Reference Bible, how wicked that thing is. And unfortunately, that's most of what modern dispensationalism, Christianity, is based upon, the Scofield Bible. That's for another day, Vince, but I'm with you on it.
You got it.
Matthew 7, 24. Let's stay here a minute, okay? Come on, guys. Come on. Whew. So Jesus says, therefore, he just told, depart from me, I never knew you. And he says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine does it. Faith without works. Whoever hears these and does them, I'm going to liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it didn't fall because it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, well, he's a foolish man who built his house upon the things of this earth. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat upon that house and it fell. And boys, and great was the fall. What's going to happen here in the good old U.S. of A. will be, great was the fall. And what was once the most Christian nation in the world, we got caught chasing blessings rather than building the kingdom. And our churches and our pulpits are full of pastors who are teaching people to chase the blessing, not build the kingdom. Chase the blessing and build the church, not realizing that the blessings are what build the kingdom. Been a great, great, it'll be a great tragedy in the eons of history as we look back upon this great experiment and what happened right in our midst. Somebody else jump in here. Coach, 10 minutes left. Yep.
Coach, our Minutemen chaplain, Mike Kelly, and this is really hard to do, but in all things, be grateful, and especially the hard things.
Yeah.
And it's tough to develop the reflex, but when those tough things happen, as Christians, our first reaction should be, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this. We don't know why, but it's very difficult to do, but it's a great habit to get into.
Well, not only that, JR, if you believe persecution is good for you, he tells us more than once. Why are we shocked by it? He tells us more than once.
Yeah.
Because why? See, we are a living sacrifice, and the persecution that comes our way becomes an illuminating light to others. They say, my goodness, they're after that guy and he's still standing? Are you kidding me? Or how many times have you watched a video? I just watched one just the other day. I don't know if I can find it. Of a man who went to I think it was a school board meeting. He was Hispanic. Wore his Christian shirt. Stood up and watched it. That video's got, I don't even know how many views. You know what every man's wishing down in his heart, JR? Roger, you know what every man's wishing? He's wishing, man, I wish I had the stones to do that. Huh. I wish I had the stones to do that. And why don't they? Because they don't embrace persecution as a blessing. You understand that? If you see persecution as an enemy, well, you won't strive to embrace it. The Lord said it is a blessing. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Why are we not out? If we're chasing the blessings, can somebody explain to me why we're not chasing that one? Hey, Jared, Google Hispanic man preaches at school board meeting or whatever. See what if you come up. Probably got millions of hits. Because you know why? Ain't very many Christian men got any stones. Not very many men have any stones. And they wish they did. Oh, they wish they did. And they admire that guy. But they sure ain't going to get involved and do it. They're not going to do it. No, they'd rather criticize. Keep going. No, you'll see it. Jared, the guy's in it. I don't think that's it. I don't think it's it, Jared. This guy, yep. No, that's not it, man. Daggone it. This stuff happened. It's not your fault. He come walking forward in a yellow shirt like I would wear. It says something about repent on it as he comes walking forward in it. And he gets up there and he reads from the scripture and he tells him the truth. Oh, Lord, where is it? Jared's going to find it for us.
Hey, Coach, well, you're looking for that. The parents in Cincinnati of the young man who was in North Korea and died, reaction to what happened there is almost exemplary to what we're talking about today. I mean, they're grateful for a lot of things, and they're letting this thing pass by and letting it grow in them. I think it's
right.
Albert, I think it's the kid's name.
Yes. That's a whole story in itself. Yes.
They also had some balance. There was a little bit of them being pissed off, too. I like the balance of that family, an understanding of what they went through, but they also had a little anger and were upset. What I get tired of is during the difficult times, it's all, let's just forgive. No, we have anger sometimes. That's human nature. And to see that, to me, says they're real.
I'm with you, Roger. I'm with you.
The Bible says that there's a righteous anger. Well, by golly, that's an anger. And all these people, it says Christians shouldn't get angry. Well, they haven't read their Bible or they refuse to understand it. And I'm sorry. I don't consider my brother or sister in Christ.
Do you think Jesus got angry in the temple? I'm sorry, Jared. It's okay. This guy does. Listen, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Can I turn the scripture on its head for you?
Good.
Are you ready?
Good.
Okay, here we go. Bible says, be angry and sin not. And we've interpreted that as don't be angry. Now I'm going to tell you something. The scripture tells us this: for he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Yes? Yes, thumb up. Bible says that. Yep, it does say that, coach. So when Jesus says, be angry and sin not, is he warning us, hey, boys, when you see something that makes you mad, you better not look the other way. You better not look the other way. If you see something that ticks you off, you better deal with it with righteous indignation. See, we hear, be angry and sin not. Oh, that's right. They're down there trying to recruit little five-year-old kids into the homosexual movement, and I'm mad about it. Oh, but I'll just pray for them. Just, no, see, uh-uh. Because I know to do good, and I don't do it. Hey, George, that's sin.
Yeah, Jesus told him, be angry. And sin
be angry.
Not. The sinning would not be being angry. Not to get angry would be the
sin. No. Not doing something about it would be the sin. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is sin. Wow. That just came to me. Is that powerful? We're about out of time here. I had all this stuff I was going to share with you. All of this stuff, and I didn't. I want you to know this. Oh, yeah, go ahead, George.
Hey, just real quick. What you're saying about the coming economic collapse, you're right. It's coming. And
great will be the fall, George. Great is that fall, and, brother. Great.
And it's been a while now that I've purposed in my heart that, you know what, no one wants to lose their comfort, but we all have to come to terms of how we're going to deal with it and that we're going to press into God because it is coming. You're right. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
It's coming for sure, buddy. It is coming for sure. And listen, I hear from a lot of naysayers. I got a lot of people who don't like me. I wish everybody liked me. Michelle, you like me? She loves me. Macy, do you love Grampy? I love Grampy. So I heard John Maxwell say one time that the real measure of success is when those who know you the best love you the most. And I'm not in the business of making people love me. Okay, I'm not. I am doing what the scripture says in Hebrews. I'm provoking you to love and do good works. And sometimes to be provoked, to be a provocateur. We don't like provocateurs. We don't like provocateurs. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I know this, brothers. You can laugh whatever you want to. The last hour came to me in an instant as I was walking down the steps. So if you want to argue whether or not that what you're hearing is from the Lord, test the spirits, baby. Test the spirits. Jared can attest to what I sent him today, and it wasn't any of this. It wasn't any of it. So I'm trying to tell, here's what I'm trying to say, tell you. Listen to me. Some of you who watch this show regularly are constantly fighting those who are trying to pull you back in the box. You're constantly fighting it. I hate to say this. No, I don't. You're going to lose some friends. You're going to have to cut some cords. Because some of those people who you think are your friends, they got little bungee cords connected to you, and they keep pulling you back into their comfort zone. I'm going to say that again. As you continue to grow and go deeper in the things of the Lord, those people around you who for your whole life you've considered your friends, I'm going to tell you something. They're reaching up and pulling you back into their comfort zone. They're pulling you back into the box that they live in, and they don't want you, even though they're good Christian brothers, the last thing they want is for you to peek in your head outside that box and see something beyond what they themselves have experienced.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
When you're talking about the economy and how it's going to bottom out, I mean, and really just fall apart, I think the most important thing you said kind of got slipped over a little bit. And that is this. I firmly believe that what you said is true. And that is that what we call the left hates us so much that they are willing to put themselves in that cesspool of the economic collapse coming, that they're going to do it on purpose just because in their minds they think it's hurting us.
Yeah, Larry, but you know, when you whittle it down, we're out of time here. When you whittle it down, understand this. They're just like us. They're just not Christians. They just want to be satisfied. They want to be happy. They want to be sexually fluid. They want to do everything they want to please them. And so are we. We just want Jesus to bless it. And here's the difference. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward. And if you're in this Christianity business because you're wanting to make friends, hey, baby, you're in the Broadway. And you're going to get run over. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.